Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world. Red Sky Radio and the Red Sky Radio Ranch, where we ride hard for the brand, and that brand is the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. So much to fit in today. We're going to get rolling right away, other than to just tell you, if you want to reach me, contact me, criticisms, comments, compliments, I do accept those from time to time. it's info@redskyradio.net. I do want to launch with some good news, and that is we are now finally at a launch date for the new program, not a replacement program, the new program that God has led me to do. And it's timely, and maybe it's about time. You know, Red Sky Radio has reached its 15th year of production. And we thank God for all the listeners and supporters that have helped this program continuously expand through those years. And we're not done. I mean, there are times where I feel like we've really just begun. But God has called us to add to this ministry's platform with a new program specifically designed for men called Real Men Radio. That's right, Real Men Radio. Now, it's a program for men, but it's actually really not just for men, since when men are men before God, they become more of a man before their wives, their sisters, their daughters, their aunts, their mothers, their grandmothers. They become more of a man in every way when they're a man before God. And if this program is well received, it may be because we may end up with more female listeners than male. I have no idea. And so to the women that are listening to this right now, you know, you have your ways of getting certain messages across the path of men in your life. So I will leave you to your devices and bless you in your efforts to do so. If there's something that you will hear on this new program, Real Men Radio, should you desire to hear it, that you think would bless some man or men in your life. Our goal, and God laid this on my heart a few nights ago, this is something rather new, is to have 1 million listeners. Now, we hit 146,000 listeners of Red Sky Radio a couple of weeks ago. But my desire was placed in my heart is to have 1 million listeners across the globe who will step into their calling before God to be all of the man that God has called them to be. And we want to partner with those men in that process. And I got to clear up something here right at the beginning. Please, please do not think that I've arrived. I was actually asked to do this program, and when I checked with others, it seemed like, gosh, this has seemed like something that's timely. God has given me multiple confirmations. Because the fact of the matter is, much of the time, maybe most of the time, I will be preaching to myself. For I'm not the man that I should be, but I do know precisely the man that I desire to be. And so listen for the coming of Real Men Radio to start the week of January 12th. It's not going to be on, at least initially, any of the terrestrial stations. And what I mean are your AM, FM stations, which we have in Northern California, Las Vegas, the Bay Area, mostly here in the Southwest. It's going to be initially just on internet, and you're going to be able to reach it through a link called darkskyradio.com, darkskyradio.com. And if you go into that, the tech guy for this program who holds things together on the internet side of things, we'll have a link there to where you can get to the broadcast for Real Men Radio. So more of that coming. But I do want to share something, and this is probably the last and final confirmation to do this program. And it came from a listener. Came from a listener on the East Coast who wrote to me about how much this person was looking forward to Real Men Radio. Now, this is not a guy. It was a woman who wrote and said this is a program for its time. And I was intrigued yesterday when I saw this little piece about the Christian leaders calling for the Roaring Twenties, which is a prayer initiative calling on 1 million young Christians to fast and pray for awakening in the United States. Now, I did not know about that. I knew nothing about that till yesterday. But it was several days ago that God gave me the 1 million man number, or 1 million listeners for that program, which certainly would complement, support the Roaring Twenties and calling on 1 million young Christians in particular to fast and pray for awakening. Something that I did not know until a relatively short period of time before, until Jeremy Bowling, our the tech man here, advised me that the largest part of the audience for Red Sky Radio is now on the, but via internet, is in the 35 to, I think, 55 age bracket. So I'm looking to Real Men Radio to reach that and even younger, certainly the young Christians, but for all men. All men need to be more of a man before God than they were the day before. But I do want to read to you what was written by this woman on the East Coast, which was just sort of the confirmation to me. She said this. She said, "I hope and pray that Real Men Radio takes off and it is an amazing success and helps men to be better Christians, better husbands, better fathers, better friends, better neighbors, better workers, patriotic citizens, faithful to God and family, lovers of God rather than lovers of man, uncompromising, prayer warriors, sharing the gospel and leading others to Christ Jesus, baptized, unafraid to take a stand for Jesus and what is right, Holy Ghost filled, righteous, walking circumspectly, honest, readers and doers of the word, providers, dependable, reliable, hardworking, loving and kind, law-abiding, and knowledgeable." I mean, I was just kind of blown away. I got this. I thought, well, okay. I don't even need to write the lead-in for this program. This covers more. This covers everything that was in my heart, but it hadn't made it to my head to be able to say all that. And so my thanks go out there for the listener that provided that to me. Okay, we'll know that more next week on the more precise timing for that, but it's going to be on internet, so you'll be able to, I think, be able to reach it pretty much any time of the day, I think. But I'll know more in the future. Okay, moving along. We got a bunch of stories I want to cover today. One of them is going to be about the attack in Iraq, and you know, I don't go to these things and don't go to, at least don't spend a lot of time on the big stories that don't have a biblical basis for me to be able to base and root my decision and opinion on. I'm just not here to just ramble and rant, although it may seem like that sometimes. And sometimes I probably do just ramble and rant, but I really, truly try to search out the biblical basis for a particularly notable story. Now, there's some smaller things. You're going to hear them today. I won't necessarily have a Bible verse for them, in part because I have said those Bible verses so many times, and this just is sort of more of something that's informative. But I want to bring up first the thing coming out of communist China, that private ownership of guns in the U.S. is a serious problem, and it must change. Now, these are the Chinese telling us we need to give up our guns. We must change. Like, who the heck are you, Chinese, to do that? Oh, big deal. So you got 1 billion plus people, but might doesn't make right. So it's the Global Times, which is a Chinese state-run media, in other words, your propaganda channel, that published this op-ed after the man in Texas at the church in White Settlement, Texas, shot the guy came in with a gun, killed him, real true hero, came in, started shooting people while they're taking communion. Can you believe that? Well, that's what the devil does. He's the author of death and destruction, and he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Just so happened that day he had one of his boys coming into that church. But God had one of his boys ready and took him out. God bless that man. We'll talk more about it in a little bit. But that story touched off the Chinese, who said that our Second Amendment is, quote, a serious problem, end quote. That there needs to be, quote, change in how the American public views the private ownership of guns, end quote. So China's out there mocking the United States and saying, oh, these shootings are shocking in a U.S. allegedly governed by law. Now, that's a quote from the Chinese propaganda channel. Quote, shootings are shocking in a U.S. allegedly governed by law. I want to bring up a few points that are relevant. Number one, overarching principle, these guys should talk about the problem of guns. These guys. You got Mao Zedong, who slaughtered millions. Number two, millions have been slaughtered by the Chinese government since Mao. Number three, this is a country that has forced abortions. This is China, who just can't get enough of killing innocent people who are lecturing us about the private ownership of guns. This is a country that now has millions currently locked up in concentration camps. And they think they have the high moral ground on this? I want to tell you, the main reason we have the Second Amendment, the main reason we are going to keep our guns and our ammo, the main reason we will fight to keep our guns is so that we never become China. Take that, China. It's about time you get your nose out of meddling in our affairs. And I'm going to throw this on. This isn't anything against the Chinese. It's against the Chinese government. But we've got a lot of immigration. We have a lot of people coming from countries that don't believe in the private ownership of guns because they never had it. Do you see the potential for changing our landscape? Do you know how much the China and Chinese are purchasing land, businesses, freeways in the United States? And guess what? When they control the means of production and they control the land, guess what? They're going to start to dictate and control the politics. And that's when we have to be ready. We have to be ready to fight. I don't know where the Civil War is coming from. There's a whole different bunch of areas that could launch a civil war. But China waxes obnoxious about gun violence when no country has exercised more gun violence than a government of China. You remember the tank that ran over the guy with a stick back in the Tiananmen Square, 1989. So, I mean, China's attack on the Second Amendment, of course, is coming along here right after also the Hong Kong protesters who want, you hear those guys chanting for their own Second Amendment? So the way China responds is they crush those guys and they attack our Second Amendment. And so what do they want the Second Amendment for? So they can defend themselves against the oppressive commies in China. And this was their response to the shooting in Texas. Now, here's Elizabeth Warren's response to a hero stopping the Texas church shooting. She said she will not support this. I got to back up here. This story, more than anything recently, reveals that the Democrats are at heart communists. They really are. You know, I'm skipping the socialism because socialism is only a step on the way to communism. And Elizabeth Warren is going right to the communist talking points. She agrees with China. A communist country is who she agrees with. Listen to this statement. She announced, she said, I would not support universal concealed carry, even if the person is vetted by the government and obtains licensing. So in other words, this is Elizabeth Betsy Baby Commie Warren saying, I don't believe anybody has a right to carry a gun, concealed carry. I don't care if the government has approved it, if the government has vetted it, they get all the licensing in the world. Thanks, Betsy Baby Warren, for telling us what you really think, that at heart, your alignment with a communist government tells me you are a commie. Yeah, you know, I used to say that a lot. I haven't said it for about 20 years. I haven't used the word commie. We keep fighting socialism. But that's just a step on the path to complete and absolute control, and I will fight and spend every single round of ammo I have, if necessary, to fight against the takeover of the United States by any force that's contrary to the word of, that speaks things contrary to the word of God and direct opposition to the Constitution. God bless you guys in Virginia that are standing up to that whack job, Northam. Or abortham, as they call them, because there isn't any child too young or any newborn, apparently, that he's not okay with scratching from this world. And then you get Joe brain-dead Biden. He was criticized in roundly this last week because we have a hero in Texas. But Joe, a while back, there was the video footage that emerged of him where he is trashing Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, in September of 2019 for signing a bill into law that would allow lawful gun owners to carry firearms into their places of worship. Well, because a lawful gun owner was there, he stopped an unlawful gun possessor, a guy who had been up on gun charges before. Now, this, I want to quote Biden. This is the depth of the brain death that has paralyzed any functional capacity of this guy who needs to just exit. Quote, dealing with firearms, it is irrational. With all due respect to the governor of Texas, irrational what they are doing. On this very day, you will see a mass shooting, and we're talking about loosening access to have guns, to be able to take them into places of worship. It's just absolutely irrational. It's totally irrational. End quote. This is how dumb he is. He assumes that by letting people possess guns in church, he is now giving criminals the right to enter churches with guns. In other words, the stupidity of Joe Biden assumes that criminals obey the law. And the fact that they don't obey the law, what is this man thinking? Well, he's not. He's just a robo mouth. He just shoots whatever comes out of what used to be his brain, but some vacuous portion of his skull that just has a deep repository of brain dead comments. Well, okay, enough on Joe. I don't need to beat him up anymore. California, I've got to make this fast. I got too many other things. California, a couple days ago, January 1st, over 1,000 new laws go into effect in the state of California, from no longer being able to kick out any children from government schools that cause disruption and are disruptive, can't kick them out from eighth grade on down, all the way to mandatory lactation stations and breast pumping rooms for women at all employers. No employer is exempt by size. They can get an exemption if it's a hardship if you're under 50 employees. You can file for an exemption. But do you see the Democrat mentality here? I mean, every single bill Democrats pass is a measure of further control. You see, Democrats hate freedom. That's why they hate Christians. A Democratic Christian, I don't think they really exist. Either a person's not really a Christian or they are utterly clueless, totally clueless of what Democrats stand for, which is frankly, in my opinion, inexcusable, which is why I did pick up my new shirts. Generally speaking, Democrats suck. Haven't worn it yet. I'm looking for the right venue. But this is what they hate. They hate freedom, which is why they love control. But something else I want to just pass on that's interesting here. Five states led last year in domestic migration loss. In other words, these are the states where people are leaving. Number one state for the loss is California at over 200,000 people. And interestingly, for the first time in history, California's history, there's a possibility they could lose a congressional seat. Now, it's why all the Democrats in California want everybody counted. Legal immigrants, illegal immigrants wants everybody counted for the census because that's the only way they can grow their population. As they also just start now providing free health care for a bunch of illegals. That's right. Free health care for a bunch of illegals in California now. Cost me an arm and a leg. I've been a citizen here paying taxes. These people come over, don't pay jack squat diddly, and they're here illegally, and they can get free health care. So guess who's leaving California? People with brains, people with morals. Unfortunately, there's some that are only moved by taxes, and they don't realize that having ruined by their votes in their leftist liberal lemming thinking, they're just taking their poison with them to another state. That concerns me. The top five states for migration lost: California, blue state; New York, number two, blue state; Illinois, number three, blue state; New Jersey, number four, blue state; Massachusetts, number five, blue state. The five bluest states in the United States are the five that are leading in people leaving. You see, because this is the biblical point here. I try to bring up the biblical point as it relates to each story. It says, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But most people don't see the consequences of a righteous rule except in the form of greater freedoms, less regulation, more opportunity, greater income, less taxes. But where the wicked rule, they have to rule by force because they don't really have consent. Force requires money. Democrats hate freedom. They love control. Control is expensive, so you get high taxes. So you have people who couldn't give a rip about the social issues will still leave these five loser states for tax reasons, not realizing that they were part of the problem when they were there voting for the people that are running those states. But isn't that amazing? Where the sin has been the worst, where the governments have been the most oppressive, the most controlling, the most demonic, the most bibliophobic and Christophobic, are the five states that lead in domestic out-migration. Hey, I have some bad news for you, though. We have our good news at the beginning. We have some good news at the end here, but I got some bad news. The world actually ended earlier this week. Now, I realize you didn't notice the world ending, but this is what the United Kingdom newspaper, The Guardian, and as well as others, I'm just using their story here, first of all, that they said that the United Kingdom and other countries would be, quote, plunged into a deep freeze the first week of January of 2020. There'd be global flooding. Would end human civilization and with starvation, death. This was published in 2004 in the Guardian newspaper. And that there were major European cities, they warned, would be sunk underneath the seas as Britain is plunged into a Siberian climate by 2020. Now, isn't that interesting? They predicted that global warming would produce global cooling at a length that England would be Siberian in its climate by 2020. And so what they went on to say here is that, quote, nuclear conflict, mega droughts, famine, and widespread rioting will erupt across the world as is plunged into an orgy of death, starvation, and war. I just wanted to let you know that in case you weren't reading the newspaper, this all happened earlier this week. They did go on to say, in 2004, the findings will prove humiliating to the Bush administration, which has repeatedly denied that climate change even exists. End quote. And after all, we've got John Kerry, Barack Obama, and everybody saying the science is settled. Isn't that what Obama nauseatingly said at every State of the Union address? The first couple is, Global warming is a fact. Well, since the climate wasn't warming, he had to change it to climate change is a fact. He would say, quote, the science is settled. Another quote, there's nothing to debate. Well, it's interesting that everything that they said would happen, none of it has happened, which means not only are they wrong, but at the very least, there's everything to debate. So I just want to let you know that if you missed it, I don't know what to say to you, that you missed the end of the world earlier this week. Democrats, what are you going to do? Virginia School District is now going to allow students to skip class for the purposes of being able to protest. I'm not kidding. 7th to 12th grade students attending Fairfax County schools in Northern Virginia are going to be allowed to skip school in order to participate in civic engagement activities, they call it, but they go on to give examples of what constitutes civic engagement activities. Marches, sit-ins, lobbying trips to Richmond, Virginia. They went on to say here, the school board member says, I quote, I think we're setting the stage for the rest of the nation with this. And I have to say, this is outside the parentheses here, outside the quotes, parenthetically I'm speaking, he's probably right. He said, it's a dawning of a new day in student activism and school systems everywhere are going to have to be responsive to it, end quote. Well, let me ask you, Fairfax, how responsive will you be when those 7th to 12th grade students want to leave because they want to march or have a sit-in about abortion? They want to march about around some killing machine called the Planned Parenthood. What are you going to do when they want to protest queer marriage and queer adoptions at some adoption center? What are you going to do? Are you going to be supportive of that level of student activism? All I can say is what I hope is there's a certain amount of rebellious nature sort of wrapped into the hearts of young people. They just kind of oppose what older folks are doing. And all I can say is because the leftist weenies are now driving the public school system, that the students will react conversely. So let's see what happens. My concern, however, at this point in time, is that Abraham Lincoln was correct. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation becomes a philosophy of government in the next. Don't go away. We're just getting started. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you. 18 weeks.
We're back, Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. You know, I've talked much about in the past about just how given to hostility against Christians, hostility against the truth, hostility against the Constitution and all things godly the media has become. But I have to tell you, the Jack Wilson, the hero who saved tens of people's lives in killing the guy who came in and started shooting people in that church in Texas while they were taking communion. And he doesn't think of himself as a hero. He's just doing his job. And you know what? The fact that he thinks of himself as only doing his job is sort of what makes him a hero. He volunteered for that job. He's a volunteer. He was trained. But how the media is trying to twist and distort this story, it's just, it's unbelievable. And I'm going to run through a couple of things because I also want to give you some uplifting quotes from people who actually have brains and morals that are speaking to this. And I just hope all of this turns good people more to the good and start turning off CNN and MSNBC and use USA if you want today for a doormat, but don't read it. There are good publications out there, Breitbart News, Fox most of the time, One News Now, the Christian Post. They're out there. And you're not, maybe you may not get it dropped off at your doorstep, but it's sitting there online. So the USA Today says that this one writer, Elvia Diaz, said that it was, in her mind, terrifying that members of the church were armed. When the man comes into the church, storms in there, and then opens fire on the parishioners. She's terrified, not at the shooter that comes in, but she's terrified that the people, that some people are armed to defend innocent people. You see, that what's terrifying is that what would have happened if someone wasn't armed? This is how screwed up the left is. This is how badly they cannot want or let or permit any good guy with a gun kill a bad guy with a gun kind of story ever get out. And then she goes on to write, quote, unfortunately, we're starting with unfortunately, Jack Wilson, a good guy, killed a bad guy who saved a whole bunch of people. She says, unfortunately, this kind of split-second heroism has been turned into a public relations tool by gun advocates. You see, the left abhors a story where people are saved by good people with a private use of firearms. You see, honestly, I've got to tell you this. You may think I am off base. I really don't think so. The left actually, for the purposes of facilitating the advancement of their agenda, love slaughters by guns of a bunch of people. They do not like a lot of people being saved by the private use of firearms from law-abiding trained people because it upsets their narrative. There can never, ever to the left be a legitimate reason for a private person owning a firearm, even when that person saves a whole bunch of people in a church from a madman who probably votes Democrat. Why do I say that? You say, oh, Rob, you've gone over the edge on that one. I don't have time for it. I did a story a while back identifying the political leanings of a whole host of gunmen. Overwhelmingly, they lean towards voting Democrat. So the media is always trying to decouple the saving of innocent people and firearms from the issue of firearms as a whole. I mean, they and then you get to, you know, Elizabeth Warren's comment, like I said, about no government approval, no licensing, no concealed carry. This is the government that frankly, or this is the governmental attitude that was pervasive in 1938 Nazi Germany. You saw The Sound of Music. Remember Rolf? kind of the handsome young blonde guy who's in love with, what's her name? I can't even think of her name now. The oldest girl, Liesl. Was that? I don't know. I can't even remember her name. Anyway, he delivers this telegram. But he knows what's in the telegram being delivered to Captain Von Trapp. And what does he say? He says, "We have made it our business to know everything." You see, this is the democratic mentality. They want to know everything about everybody because that's how they end up controlling people. Well, you know what? I've said enough about Joe Biden. I don't want to waste time on him. But you see, this Diaz actually makes a strong case against control, gun control. While she's writing the story about it, she's highlighting the fact that, and I'm quoting here from Breitbart here, that criminals do not obey laws and no gun control is going to stop a motivated criminal from obtaining a weapon. But here are a couple of quotes I love, and this is what I wanted to get to. Columbine survivor Evan Todd says, quote, "I stared down the barrel of a gun at Columbine where 13 people were murdered and almost 30 wounded. I wished then and I wish now that we had a Jack Wilson that fateful day. The world would be a better place if there were more men and women like Jack Wilson." And of course, end quote, he's the hero there in Texas. Michael Malice says, "Freedom is terrifying, insists enemy of the people. This is the entire point of concealed carry, that murderers and others don't know who around them is packing." I love this. Michael Malice, this is just a great comment, Michael. Freedom is terrifying to the left. That's what the enemy of the people are, the left. The enemy, the left isn't for the people. The left is for the left. The left is for government control. And freedom is terrifying because it means they don't get to control. And freedom means that, like you said, the entire point of concealed carry, murderers don't know who around them is packing. Love that. And so this another party, who is this one? Jason Rantz said, "I'm so glad that this reporter from USA Today is getting dragged for the trash for the belief that it's unfortunate that people had weapons to protect themselves against a mass shooter." Isn't that something? And this gal is not alone. I'm going to touch quickly on some other. "It's unfortunate that people had weapons to protect themselves against a mass shooter." Another writer sends in, quote, "It's incredible how desperately some gun control activists hold on to the idea that lawful gun carriers will just shoot anyone at the drop of a hat, even insisting that an event like it happened in Texas that's literally direct evidence against the idea is somehow proof of it." And then actor Nick Searcy, not too many actors dare to say this, but God bless him for this. He said, "These leftists want more people to die so they can disarm law-abiding citizens." But this is the leftist mentality. The New York Times calls the attackers of the U.S. Embassy. We're shifting here, but it's the same mentality. Mourners. That's the U.S. This is the New York Times. I need a quote here from the Daily Wire briefly. It says, quote, "The Times painted the scene unsympathetically toward the United States, referring to the deadly airstrikes that the U.S. launched against Iranian-backed groups stationed in Iraq." And so the New York Times comes out, and then because of these deadly airstrikes, contends that the terrorist group Hezbollah are actually mourners. They're mourning the loss from the deadly airstrikes, triggering this flood of angry responses. But as the Daily Wire points out, the Times seems to conveniently forget that the reason for the airstrikes, they're the attacks by Hezbollah forces, the ones who got attacked, on Iraqi bases that were harboring American troops. And the left is so demonic Joy Reid, another brain dead propagandist for MSNBC, she was actually celebrating Trump's having his own Benghazi with taking out, what's his name, Soleimani? I've heard it pronounced several ways here. It's a great one to take out. But take him out. And she's celebrating Trump having his own Benghazi, meaning getting snagged into something like this and doing something wrong. And what you know what she's celebrating is, look, we want you to have your own Benghazi. In other words, apparently, we want you, Trump, to be on, we want it to be on your watch that people die innocently like they did in Benghazi. We want you to have your own embarrassing thing like Obama had. In other words, we want people to die, Trump, if you can get blamed for it. This is what she is saying. This is the left. And now to the story itself. Dealing with this Soleimani. That's how I'm going to pronounce his name. You know, I've heard it a couple of ways. I got to pick a name and write it. But Iran is going wild, claiming this harsh retaliation on revenge. And this Qassem Soleimani, he gets wiped out. And he is a very, very powerful figure in Iranian politics and Iranian military. And I want to quote here from Breitbart. It says, quote, the Pentagon confirmed in a statement it took out the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps leader as well as the commander of Iranian-controlled Shia militia forces in Iraq, Syria, and around the world, Qassem Soleimani. It says Soleimani has been the one who approved the orchestrated protests at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad earlier this week, end quote. So let me just say, why wouldn't we take out the guy who's trying to take out our embassy and have Benghazi number two? Why wouldn't we? Now, I have to just tell you, I love Trump's response here. Trump used Twitter, of course, like he always does, because the media won't pass on his messages. That's why they're partly so mad. They can't shut the guy up. And the one who introduced social media into elections, Barack Obama himself, and won because of it, Trump matched him and raised him. He saw his social media and raised him one by going to Twitter and going around. That's why I love Twitter for that reason only. I don't have it myself, but I'm sure glad Trump has got it. So his message of confirming the success was nothing but visual. All Trump did was tweet out a picture of the American flag. You got to love it. So Iran's leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, says that there's going to be a harsh retaliation is waiting, excuse me, for the U.S. after the airstrike, calling Soleimani the international face of resistance. So if Soleimani is the international face of resistance, doesn't that mean that Soleimani has been meddling in affairs of other countries? Of course it does. It's exactly what it means. Which takes me to the Bible verse that is very instructive of foreign political engagement at one level. It involves all other levels of meddling, but it comes from Proverbs 26, verse 17. Write that down. I've mentioned this before, but not for some time. 26:17. It says that he that meddles in a matter or with strife, belonging not to himself, is like one that takes a dog by the ears. One who meddles in a matter not of his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. You see, the problem is when you pick up a dog, you pick him up by the ears, it hurts. The dog is barking. The dog is gnashing his teeth. The dog is so upset and so mad that you now, if you set the dog down and free him of the dog's pain, the dog only wants to do one thing, and that's take you off at the knees with his teeth. So what are you stuck doing? Now you have to continue to hold the dog. And there you sit endlessly, eternally, holding a dog that wants to bite you to pieces if you let him go, but now you're stuck having the nursemaid and hold this dog. Now, I'm not going to blame this all on Barack Obama. I want to say that this actually starts with George Bush 1 and the Persian Gulf War. He made strategic errors. I was glad we emerged with the kind of victory that we had, but I wasn't convinced totally that we should be engaged in that conflict. Now, I need to say this to the libertarians. There are a few libertarian areas and with which I agree, but I don't agree with you because I'm a libertarian. I agree with you because I believe in just a few areas the libertarian perspective is biblical. And this is one of them, that we don't go meddling in affairs that are not of our own. They don't affect us. It's not because we have a treaty. It's not because we've signed and we've inked a deal with Israel where we would step in and defend them, just like Abraham stepped in and retrieved Lot and his family. You got blood ties. You got legal ties. But no, you don't just step in and everything and go into nation building while you're at it. And with that, I tend to agree with the libertarian perspective because it's biblical. We stepped into a matter we didn't really need to be in. And guess what happened? It was like doctors in the Persian Gulf War that got 90% of the cancer of a patient. And then they decide to start high-fiving each other for getting 90% of the cancer. Hussein was still alive. The regime was still intact. The cancer was still there. The 10% of it was still there. It was just waiting to instantly metastasize into a greater problem in the Middle East. And then along comes 9/11. And George Bush goes into Afghanistan. I think it was a huge mistake. I have always said that. Yeah, you can pursue your attackers, but while you're at it, don't try to take over the country, set up a regime-changing process, and use this as a means to try to change a regime. Guess what happened? Guess what happened between those two events? We picked up a dog by the ears. We haven't been able to get out of there, out of Iraq, or Afghanistan, or any other place where we've got troops stationed that if we stay, they hate us. If we leave, the place falls apart. You see how we're stuck when you pick up a dog by the ears in a matter that you shouldn't be meddling in? You're stuck. You have to stay because if you don't, bad things are going to happen. The vacuum with the exit is going to be filled by bad people. But now you're stuck spending billions of dollars and the loss of American lives in a matter that we shouldn't. So George Bush, too, ends up being the one who really picks up the dog by the ears. And guess what? He passes the dog on to Barack Obama. And Obama doesn't know what to do. He's incompetent at every level. He's, you know, basically a gutless, feckless eunuch in a Brooks Brothers suit. And of course, my only apology here is to Brooks Brothers. They can't control which of their suits turns up empty. So the fact is, here we have a dog that has been passed by the ears. Hey, Bush to Obama, you hold it for a while. Obama passes it on to Donald Trump. What does Trump do? Trump does the one thing nobody wants to do, but unfortunately, he inherited a situation. He has to do something. And what do? You have to kill the dog. Keep in mind, this is metaphorical. You got to kill the dog. You can't keep holding him at the cost of billions of dollars and American lives, and you can't let him down, i.e. vacate the whole area after you've taken it over and let the forces of evil occupy it. You got to kill the dog, and Trump killed the dog. God bless you, Donald Trump, President Trump, for doing the absolute right thing. People say, so what's Iran been doing? Iran's been meddling in the affairs not of their own. I mean, where was the Iranian leader killed? In Iraq. And they're complaining about U.S. imperialism when they themselves are occupying parts of other countries. So they're Democrats too. Well, you know what? I have a story that I wanted to cover here. I'm just going to have to save it for next week because I've got a thought here that I need to complete connected with where we are for this year and what we're about as individuals. I don't want to be this to be a year where we are fearful of things. I don't want this to be a year where I know that Democrats live by lies. They make their living lying. They lie for work. They lie for fun. They lie as a pastime. But that's where they are. They're children and tools of the devil. They have the devil as their father. Frankly, they're animated by him. But this is what I am praying for the listeners for this radio program, and I hope that Real Men Radio will complement this. We have entered in to 2020, and this is what the Lord ministered to me the other night, is that 2020 for you and for me needs to be the beginning of a decade, but certainly the beginning of a year, where we get things clearly in focus. We have a spiritual vision, 2020 vision, spiritually, that we see things that we haven't seen, that God gives us a clarity of thought. It says in Scripture that we see through a glass darkly, but I want the darkness to be lifting and that we begin to see more and more clearly as the day of Jesus return approaches. And that's biblical. We will see more clearly. But I want it to be purposeful for you. I want it to be intentional. I want you to pray as I am praying, that God give me a cleansing. Anything that is not fitting to be found in the temple of the Holy Ghost, in a person who calls you Lord and Savior, that offends you, that it would take down our witness or pollute or taint our witness, let it be gone and give us that clarity of thought, clarity of purpose, a clarity of vision. Let us be spiritually people with 2020 vision. We can see ahead. We can see things that we used to not be able to see. And with a clarity of vision, we now have a certainty that lies within us as to what must be done. And with that certainty of what must be done, and when and where and how we stand up and speak out, and what rooftop we're on to be shouting from, and maybe it's every rooftop, that we not only fulfill our calling, we are part of the calling of God in the latter days. I'm looking forward to speaking at the Denver National Western Stock Show in a few weeks to a group called the Fellowship of Christian Cowboys. And I've been asked to speak and speak on living biblically in the end days. And this is part of living biblically in the last times, is you can't be cloudy in vision and cloudy in purpose. And if we've compromised things in our life, we become murky. It's like it says, the righteous man who falls before the wicked is like murky water. You can't see what's in the water. You can't drink it because you don't know what's contaminating it. You can't step into it because you don't know where your foot's going to land. And when you don't know what to do, you're not going to do anything. So become clear in your thought. Ask God to give you 2020 vision spiritually in 2020. And when he gives it to you, and he will give it to you, probably give it to you like he's given it to me, little bits and pieces at a time, because I'd be overwhelmed with too much. Then the next thing to do is you need to act on it. Solomon did not pray and for wisdom to just hold it to himself, to never exercise it, to never implement it. when he said to the two women fighting over the baby, "Well, saw the baby in half." That was godly wisdom, knowing that the woman whose child it really belonged to would yield up that child, as opposed to not having that child sawn in half. Godly wisdom will take all shapes and sizes and forms. But if you don't use it, you will lose it. And the prayer for spiritual clarity and vision for 2020 vision will be wasted. This is Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle, America, and wherever you are throughout the world, because you ride for the brand. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. And please do not forget to be listening for the launch of Real Men Radio. God bless you. We'll see you next week.